Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Ladies and gentlemen, this edition of the Hagman Report. It's Tuesday, the 25th day of June, 2024, in the year of our Lord. I want to thank everyone for joining me. Folks, please do me a favor. Please, I beg of you, I ask you, what you can do, doesn't cost any money, takes a second of your time, is please subscribe to us on Rumble and or Brighteon, okay? Also, in your favorite download podcast download app, whatever they call those things. I don't even know what to call them. You know, the podcast apps. Please have an app and subscribe to our channel. This affects our metrics. And I'm going to say this. We are being absolutely hammered. Folks, I'm not going to get into it except to say every day when I wake up, in the morning, I do hit my knees. When I say that, I'm lucky I don't fall on my butt, but I hit my knees. And I thank God that we are still on the air because every day is a fight. Every day is a struggle. Every day there's something else that we're dealing with behind the scenes. Every day there's litigation and or threat of litigation. Every day there's threat of arrest and prosecution every day. That's not to say poor me. I'm just saying this, that you remember President Trump saying, hey, you know, they're after you. I'm just in the way. Well, he's not in the way at the moment. So guess what? The stuff rolls downhill. And I wear this as a badge of honor. If folks, if you're not in that position, well, then you're not doing things. I believe you're not strong enough. You're not out there enough. You're not pushing enough because we must prevail for the sake of our children and our grandchildren. I have a great show lined up for you folks. Great show. The first segment is going to feature some financial information, up-to-date news, because I am so confused about the finances, the financial situation with the U.S. How in the hell can we remain afloat? Are we Saudi? They're dumping the U.S. dollar. We're no longer going to be the petrodollar or the reserve currency. That's coming. They're crashing the economy deliberately. So I got so many questions, but I also want to offer solutions. He's got some packed in there. That'll be like the first 20 minutes or so. And then Randy Taylor's going to jump on board with me, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things. You'll let me know when our guest is on deck, right? Okay, he is ready. Okay. I was going to show a video. I'm not going to do that. I was going to show a two-minute video that essentially says, you know, what the heck is, how can normal people, when I say normal people, the average person, you and I, I'm talking about, do what we're doing and keep doing what we're doing, realizing that all of this crap is tumbling down around us. We should be doing something different. I had a conversation very, very brief. I'm getting ready for the debate Thursday. That's my impression for anyway. By the way, real quick, did you see that joke? Biden's preparing for the debate by getting drugged up at Camp David. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is preparing for the debate by interviewing or arguing with dementia patients. Okay, that was supposed to be a funny thing, but wherever it lands, who knows? But I had a conversation earlier today with a gentleman that I respect, and we both came away from the conversation absolutely confused. And when I say confused, we were talking about our finances, and we were talking about the financial situation. And it got, and this man has, he's a doctor, a PhD. He's got a PhD. And he says, you know, I'm to the point right now, I don't even know what questions to ask the financial advisors that he deals with. His 401k is in the toilet. His retirement is invested in different things. That's in the tank. And he's commenting. We discussed about the BRICS and about all of this stuff. I said that because, you know, I wanted to bring forth to Bob Kudla a couple of very specific questions. And after that conversation, I realized that many of us out there can't even formulate specific questions, given the financial environment of the U.S. and of the global economy. So I'm going to start by asking him just a general question, and we'll drill down from there. He only has a very limited amount of time with us, so his time is very valuable. If you don't know who Bob Kudla is, I'm going to tell you who he is. He's the founder and president of Trade Genius Academy. Folks, do me a favor. As soon as this is over, as soon as this is done, this podcast, broadcast, this video, go to TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Please do that, or the links in the program description box below. Please do that and take a look at what they have to offer. This is, you can learn trading strategies for the different various markets, and you can actually be on par with the people who are really making money, and that's the solution. But Bob's the president of Trade Genius Academy. Before that, he was an executive for two Fortune 500 companies in the financial services industry for 25 years. So he knows what he's talking about. He's focused on business development and mergers and acquisitions, or at that time, that's what he did. And he's been trading since 1991. And in 2008, Bob started his first trading service with his private group of friends. He became so popular, he decided to take it public and turn it into the business. Enter Trade Genius in 2015. Bob's strength is he's able to see around corners and position his trades into the right markets and sectors. That, to me, is a science and an art and a gift and valuable. For the past 5 years, he's been able to track a 65% overall win record in the market. Folks, again, TradeGeniusAcademy.com. But he's got quite a bit to say. He can share his expertise with us. So I'm going to begin by welcoming, of course, Bob Kudla to the show. But I'm going to begin by asking him the question that I left, that my buddy and I left. We actually had breakfast together. Our parting questions is, what's going on and what can we do about things? Because we don't know. I mean, I don't even know very specific questions to ask. And from emails I've gotten from some of you, you're in that same boat. So, Bob, thanks for joining me. Thanks for coming on. Please comment on the state of affairs and focus in on what you think that we need to be doing. And, of course, I know you know how to do it, and your company does as well. Thanks again for joining me.
Oh, Doug, thanks for having me. Thanks for your flexibility on time. I guess we both had to be flexible today.
Brother, man, I'm glad I don't break because I do bend. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, with the lead in you gave me, you know, I'm actually going to start with a teaser and I'll finish with the answer. But what if I told you that you could be market neutral, meaning that you don't have to worry about the price of your asset going up or down, but you could draw off anywhere between 15% and 30% a year in dividend income? Would that be something that would be of interest to you in an environment of the unknowns? and I'm gonna end with the answer on that, and not because I want to be a teaser, but I just want to let you know that there are tools out there that are available to the retail trader, and I consider myself a retail trader. And I'll move my drinks out of the way here.
That's all right.
So that are available to the retail trader that we help people to help them use and to utilize. And these are brand name companies that you can use these tools for. So I'll share that with you at the end because there is hope here, and you don't have to fear the bear market, and you don't have to really even care. And so the way in which, you know, we look at the markets is we look top down. First of all, we don't care about the news at all, Doug, at all. I really don't care. The news is designed to separate you from your money, okay? Because these are advertisers that are pushing the narratives. Because if they're telling you to buy something, that means they're selling it. If they're telling you to sell something, that means they're buying it. And so you just have to kind of ignore that. Because in the stock market, you just have to watch what it does, not what they say. And what we do and how we look at the markets is we start at the very, very top. There are what they call seasonal patterns. You know, every month of the year is a bias towards a sector one way or another, either up or down. Okay. And that bias has been created for a lot of reasons, you know, in terms of the buying and selling, supply and demand of the underlying products that these sectors are part of. That's number one. Number two is that you have to also look at the political environment. And I don't mean, you know, do I love Trump or love Biden? I mean, where are we in the presidential cycles? Because it actually means something. They're actually, those things are actually tradable. And so once we have that framework, then we go down one section lower, and then we look at actually the momentum of these sectors and stocks, and we look at their trend, and then we look at their what they call their momentum or their rate of change, and that's where our algorithm comes in, and then we just look for the best buys and sells in the environment of a sector that is moving in the direction that we want it to move into. And I'll give you an example. So right now we're in the fourth year of the presidential cycle of a first term president, okay? And so what that tells us now going into the summer is that the market has a tendency to move on average up 7% between actually starting tomorrow into the end of August. In addition to that, you have an environment that starts actually tomorrow and goes into after the 4th of July to July 7th, where the market has a 2.5% move. Okay, so if you're nervous at the market, you're trying to short it because, you know, you hate Biden or you think the economy is going to go into crapper. Well, there's money flowing in to take advantage of that. In fact, there's money flowing in across the world into the United States at record rates. Well, that money has to get put to use somewhere, and it mostly gets put to use in the stock market. So you sit there and you say to yourself, well, the U.S. economy is dead. Yellen's killing the environment. Why is stock going up? Well, because what matters most in trading and in stock investing is basically liquidity and momentum. And so you have liquidity coming into the United States from around the world, primarily because our interest rates are higher than the rest of the world. You know, Canada and European Union just lowered their rates. Okay. Japan's on a perpetual, divestiture of their yen. And so it makes the United States an attractive place to put your money. Plus, it is the most stable country in the world. Even though we live here and we think it's chaotic, the rest of the world is even more chaotic. So yeah, that environment right there. So you don't fight the trend. And it's funny, you said your friend's a PhD. You know, a long time ago, I was struggling with the market because I was trying to impart my view on how corrupt and how evil and how awful the United States government is, and I'm going to short this thing because we're going to go downtown, Charlie Brown. And my friend who I trade with, he looked at me, said, Bob, do you want to be right or do you want to make money? And basically said, you know, you got to follow the money flow.
Yeah.
And so, and that's the thing I want to tell people too, because I know a lot of us that are on the right, and I mean right wing and right morally of this environment that we're in today, you know, we're projecting out into the future some really bad things. But short term, you know, you can't fight the momentum. And so I just want to share that little bit of wisdom with you. So we know now going from into now until the end of summer, that summertime trading, there's been very, very few sell-offs in July in the stock market. So don't try to short it. But we also know after Labor Day, going into the election season, it gets choppy. So take advantage of this gift you're going to get in the summertime and start pairing or raising cash to get ready for the political, you know, election silly season. And so that's kind of what I want to kind of go off with you on. And then from there, we know economic forces eventually prevail over money flow, because money flow will reverse when companies aren't making enough money. But you got to understand, Janet Yellen is pumping in trillions of dollars into the economy because of the overspending. And until that affects companies' abilities and people's ability to absorb that money and create additional cash flow, it's going to lift the market up before it dumps it pretty hard. And so that's what you have to kind of, you know, keep an eye on there. So what I'm saying here is, short term, the market says, look, you need to be up. You need to be invested. You need to be long. You need to go with the seasonal flows. Going into the fall, you need to start reversing that thinking. And then after the election, it all depends who wins. And then you have a new cycle starting again.
So, okay, I love what you said. Don't fight the trend, number one. And you've studied the trend. You know what it is. Like you said, and I hopefully I got this correct. Look for a 7% essentially increase between today, tomorrow, through August, and then additional from there, 2%. I think you mentioned. But the short term, you're in a long position, and in the fall, you reverse that thought, and you can make money in that fashion if you're on the right side of, well, what you're saying to do, what you're guiding people to do. Okay.
Yeah, and the other thing too is Bitcoin just went through a down cycle, so did energy, and actually today, as we're talking, Bitcoin's having a reversal higher. Last week, the energy complex started to move higher again. And those seasonal flows, because Bitcoin came out of the halving cycle. For people that know cryptocurrency, the rewards are cut in half. And for the last 30 to 45 days, the Bitcoin miners have been selling off their inventory because they're not making as much revenue, because they're only getting half the reward they did in the past. Well, that revenue, that inventory now has got exhausted. And then the data tells us that between 120 and 180 days after a halving cycle, you get a supply shock. So Bitcoin should move higher. Our expectation is for Bitcoin to make new highs. And energies, their seasonal flow is from June to September. So where we're concentrating our bets is in energy and Bitcoin-related ETFs. And so far, those trades on the energy side have been paying off. And on the Bitcoin side, we got some really nice reversals today, and we expect that trend to continue for at least the next 60 to 90 days.
Okay. That was part of the conversation for my breakfast meeting this morning. It was about the cryptocurrency, and I think you addressed that well. Interesting how you put that and really framed that. And by the way, what I'm going to do, folks, just give you a heads up, I'm going to take this segment with Bob because it's so valuable, and make it a standalone segment where you can share with your friends, family, associates, and people like Dave, who I spent the morning with, share this, and also share the solution, and that's TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Okay, so really what I hear you saying is management over fear. You know, it's almost like, to me, not having much knowledge in the financial markets. You know, I feel like I'm walking into walls, but you can clarify that. And that's what you do, and help people wander through that fog and maze. Okay. All right. Yeah, perfect. Is there anything, and forgive this question if it's inappropriate, or in it, when I say inappropriate, I mean not germane to this discussion. Is there any concern we should have about the actual status of the U.S. dollar on the world market?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
So people, I know people constantly are worried about the Saudi petrodollar.
Yeah.
We have the highest trade weighted dollar activity ever. Okay. until the United States is no longer the dominant military power and a dominant trading partner, the dollar is fine.
Okay.
Who could compete with it, right? You know, Russia can't. Russia's the size of Texas. China is a Potemkin village, right? China is really only 70 or 65% of what they claim is their GDP. It's a false economy. And India and Brazil, you know, those countries are corruption laden and heavy bureaucracies. They can't hope to compete with the United States. So don't worry about the dollar. And the other thing I'm going to tell you, too, is that my personal view is Bitcoin is a construct of the United States government. I think it was the NSA patented or did a white paper on how to do blockchain crypto transactions. And we don't know who the hell Satoshi is. For all we can, all we know is Satoshi could be a QR code sitting in Fort Knox. Okay, and there's some really interesting things happening in the Bitcoin space that is pretty profound. So when you want to trade in the Bitcoin ecosystem and you don't want to keep going in and out of fiat dollars, you can use what they call these stable coins. You know, Tether, USDC. And you have where you can just quickly go in and out without having to jump back and forth and having the delays involved in going in and out of a brokerage. And so what they do is they back those stable coins up with U.S. treasuries. And so these companies are sitting on 4-4.5% interest rates that they're getting on the cash that's sitting there between it being traded for cryptocurrencies and back out into the stable coin. And that pool is growing over time. And that growing pool is absorbing the additional spending that the United States government is doing. And so it's acting as basically a sponge or capacitor to absorb the additional spending. I think it's absolutely, whoever thought of this, absolutely profound and clever. I'm surprised it was the U.S. government, because you don't usually put those words together with them. But somebody had enough foresight 10 years ago to know that the dollar is going to be in a pretty vulnerable place at some point. And then we basically have this Bitcoin environment that I think you can offload onto in case the banking system actually goes bankrupt, which is a distinct possibility. You can have assets out of the banking system that would be acceptable to the United States government. You notice China hates Bitcoin. Okay, why would they hate Bitcoin? You think he would use Bitcoin to destroy the dollar? But I see somebody in China figured it out that, well, wait a minute, this is a little bit of 3D chess by the United States government. And so, you know, we have some built-in safeguards in the country. And look, if Biden's doing a little bit of this, I'll give credit where credit's due. But if Trump gets into office, and don't give me hate, I'm using if because nobody knows the future, is that, you know, he's going to drive more onshoring of U.S. manufacturing. And, you know, number one, it'll decapitate China. Number two is he wants to get rid of the income tax and go to another environment. That is all very, very, very bullish the dollar. And wow. So, yeah. And he'll open up trading, you know, in oil again. I mean, drilling in oil again, natural gas. And you know, we'll be, you know, we're the largest reserves, largest producer of oil energy in the world. We can stick a straw almost anywhere in the country and draw oil out of the ground. It's just really a political thing for us. And so I don't worry about the dollar at all. You know, I worry more about us eroding and corroding internally, you know, but I think if you notice around the world is starting to shift away from this this globalist leftist environment. And I think people in the United States are going to see it too. The what they did with inflation woke people up. So I don't worry about the dollar at all. It doesn't mean that we can't go into some profound recessions, okay? And hardship, and hardship's already hitting people. And so there's secular issues that are happening to us, but actually, ironically and perversely, strengthens the dollar. So, and I can get in all that if people are interested, but, you know, remember, every time when people think of a dollar, they think of a dollar in their pocket. But, you know, dollar is also credit created, too. So as loans get paid off or they default, you know, there's less dollars in circulation. The value of the remaining dollars goes higher. And so even when you, perversely, in a downturn, when people are defaulting on their debt, not taking on new loans, the dollar gets stronger. So it's just really a phenomenon that people can't wrap their head around. And in a lot of cases, you know, the government can't spend fast enough to overwhelm the velocity collapse and the money supply collapse. So even though things may go bad, it'll just strengthen the dollar short term. So I don't worry about the dollar at all.
Okay. And
I explain that to people because people really don't understand it. I've been telling people for as long as I've been doing Trade Genius to stop, take the dollar off your worry list. We have other things we need to worry about, but the dollar's not one of them.
Thank you for saying that, because there are a lot of people out there that I hear from whose immediate worry when they talk about the financial arena is the status or the value of the U.S. dollar relative to other currencies and whether it's going to survive. But thank you for that, because I actually understood what you said. And folks, I would urge you to go back and listen to what Bob said, because it made sense. Ask me to repeat it, not right now, until I let it soak in for a little bit. But Bob, you're slammed. You're as busy as anyone I know, one of the busiest guys I know. So I don't want to take much more of your time. So anything else that we should cover? And then I really want people to take advantage of the services you offer, because to me, this is the way to really become financially, in my view, use what you have to become financially independent by taking advantage of what Bob Kudla, TradeGeniusAcademy.com, has to offer. I'm telling you, folks, this is a valuable service. So take it away and then talk about Trade Genius Academy.
Yeah, so here, I'll do the plug first. So what we've done is created a couple of very effective algorithms to help us navigate trading the stock market and the cryptocurrency markets. And I explained in the beginning kind of how we look top down on these things. You know, our track record is we're actually at 67% win rate right now. We have what's called a positive profit factor, meaning that over time, if you just followed the trades that we put out there for our clients to evaluate, you can help them make money. And so we know our system works, and it works in all environments because we've been doing this for quite a bit of time. And what we do is we give trades out every day, but we also, you know, teach you how to use the system. We give you access to the algorithm. You could trade stocks and cryptos that we don't trade, okay, or not trading that day. So, you know, we will help make you an independent trader. And we also have rooms, and, you know, it's pretty interesting. So, you know, some of our clients the other day were telling us we have a room called a VIP room where you and I like are talking. I could talk to our subscribers that are in there. And they said, this place is like a macro think tank. I mean, we have people in there that are executives at Fortune 500 companies or were. We have people that are sector experts in certain industries, and everybody's willing to share with each other. And so to me, what you pay for the service is nothing compared to what you get out of the service. And we pre-discounted everything. You can check. He's been flashing the bundles up there. You have till Saturday to take advantage of it. But the really cool thing that's coming up, and I remember I teased in the beginning, there are these products out there. They're called high yield dividend products. This is a new available asset for retail, but it's something the rich have been doing ad infinitum in the past. And they, what they do is they create synthetic positions based on a certain stock. And from that, they're able to drive really high dividend yields that get paid out monthly. And we're talking on the low end, 15% on the high end. You know, like a company like MicroStrategy, they paid out last year at 120% of what your investment was. And people are like, they're like, wow, how could that be possible? It's because they're not necessarily tracking the cash flows of the companies. They're actually tracking the volatility of these stocks. And so what we're doing is we're helping our clients understand when you should enter these. Should you hold it for the dividend? Should you let the dividend pass, you know, and then buy it afterwards where it's a lower price, and or just have a drip program? And so we have that going. And in the August and in the fall, there's only one product out now, but you can actually buy a long Tesla position and a short Tesla position. And you're what's called market neutral, okay? Meaning that for when Tesla is going up, the Tesla long derivative position is going up, and the other one's going down. But they almost go down if you equal weight the investment, equal amounts. But you're picking up a dividend close to 50% annually, and it's just insane. So you're market neutral, and we're in that trade now, and so. We're weighted more heavily for long Tesla because of the summer. So we're 70-30. But going into the fall, we'll go 50-50 and we may go 30-70. And that's the value that we'll provide to our listeners saying, hey, how are we allocating to these? And then you don't care. You know, we're joking. I said, we put these things on. You know, I could be doing a podcast from Tahiti on the beach and you guys could be sitting next to me. And we're letting these derivatives do the work for us. So there's some really tremendous opportunities. They're becoming more and more popular for obvious reasons, but they have legs. If you believe in the underlying stock that you're trading, the derivatives can't help you but outperform without you doing very much work. And it'll work on the long side. And as time goes on, they're going to have more products out, like the Tesla product, where you can hedge yourself by just doing equal weight long and short. And basically, you're just coupon clipping and you're making excessive yield. And I just think it's absolutely mind boggling. And I'm so glad these guys were able to get this to market. And when you look at it, you say, how is it possible? But it is possible. And I've explained it to people many times. But if you join our room, and you join the VIP room, I'm happy to explain it to you again and again and again. And you'll be like sitting there, your jaw will drop. Okay.
That's amazing.
So absolutely. Why do you think the rich are rich? Okay. They create these programs. So, you know, over time, what's the downside to this? If it gets so popular, the yields may fall because it won't be as speculative. But as my one financial advisor friend told me, he said, look, 80% of my clients would never touch these anyway. So you won't get to a point of saturation. So we may have the playground to ourselves for a while.
I love that.
That's all I want to leave you, Doug. Come trade with us. We'll make you money. The amount of money you spend on a year of our service is a pittance to what you can get out of it if you trade with us. And by the way, yep. I'm not a financial advisor and I don't manage your money. I don't take your money. I don't ask for your crypto. You know, I'm just here providing education and I put trades out there and I tell people what I'm trading. You know, it's up to you to follow me if you want. I don't know your financial situation, but I just want to let you know what good best practices are. And I back it up with accountability.
I'm going to tell you everything I have heard, every person I have come across that has been involved in Trade Genius, my personal experience as well. I'm going to say that we are, as far as I'm concerned, we are right now, folks, in the shadow of a financial genius. And, of course, that's Bob Kudla of Trade Genius Academy. You're helping many, many people, and I really appreciate that, especially in these turbulent times. And, boy, I'll tell you, if there's any place that people need to go right now, if monetary concerns or concerns to make money, that's Trade Genius Academy. You've got my complete two thumbs up on this, and I would urge everyone to check it out. and also listen to your daily financial update on your podcast. This is podcast. Fantastic. Bob, did we cover everything? Do we need anything else?
No, the podcast is Trade Genius. We do it every day. It's free. And we a lot of Easter eggs we give out there, too. So the only thing I have to say, Doug, is I'm going to play this last part back for my wife, because I never heard my wife and me and Genius together in one sentence. And so I'll take the compliment. And I got to run, so if you let me go, I think we're going to try to talk again at the end of the month. And not the end of the month. It is the end of June. Gosh, time's flying.
I know.
We'll talk again. We'll talk again middle of end of July then.
I really appreciate that. I know your time's valuable. Go ahead and bounce. I appreciate you, Bob. Thank you so very much. Folks, TradeGeniusAcademy.com. I'm telling you, check it out. You know, it's up to us what we do with our money. And Bob really has an extreme. Look, I don't talk about stuff I don't believe in or use myself. This is something that is like the even. This is the tool I would put my. I'm a horrible investor. I'm horrible with anything market related. But Bob has straightened me out on many, many things. And Dave, this is for you with your pancakes, strawberry pancakes this morning. How dare you? All right. Fantastic. Again, TradeGeniusAcademy.com. All right, folks, a lot of things to get into in the remaining part of the program. We've got just a number of things taking place. You know, yesterday, real quick, let me ask you a question. Okay, why in yesterday's program, why aren't people realizing the great success that Save Them, the organization Save Them, and Landon, what they put out there, what Landon himself, and I'd like to consider myself and Eric the Tech, because we do work closely with these, with Save Them and with Vets for Child Rescue and with Shatter Ops and to save the children. I mean, why isn't this plastered everywhere? Because, man, the dent that they made, and they didn't make any friends except those that they rescued. Why isn't that out there on social media? Why? I'm just asking. I'm asking. Why can't I say, by the way, or type child trafficking without using code asterisk and stuff on social media? It shouldn't be that way. All right. Is RT in? All right. Folks, if you haven't seen it, I did segment that one segment with Landon out there, and the story about, you know, the good guys being in the trunk, them raiding the house of the perpetrators, the battle that ensued. You know, these are government agents in South Africa that it was Landon and his crew, his work, that rescued the children and women and some boys, and put these people away for 4 consecutive life terms. But to get to them, it's a hell of a story. And I've been with Landon on field operations, and I've got to say this. There are times when there have been times when I'm telling you right now, I thought I was going to lose control of my lower plumbing, okay, because it gets that hairy sometimes. These people are bad people, but this is what we do. Understand what we do. And we also do this with the graciousness and the absolute adeptness, the prowess of a fellow investigator, and that is Randy Taylor, RT at AgmanPI.com. He has, I'm going to say this too, he's probably saved more lives than many of you people who know people. I mean, he's saved a lot of lives through his work, his life's work. I could tell you story after story where, I mean, look, before our meeting, I don't even know half of what he's done. But I know when we're together and when we've worked together and worked with other groups and other people, this man, and I'd like to thank me with him as well, put the hurt on some really bad people. When you think about it, child trafficking, human trafficking, to me, that's one of the most important things that we could focus on. Randy Taylor, how are you, sir?
Doing okay, buddy. Yes, it is. We should be focused on that. There's plenty of things that we need to work and deal with. What we're trying to do is, while we're trying to take apart the globalists and their systems and their means and their methods, we also have to keep the children in mind.
Yeah.
You know, they'll always, that fight will always be there, and that fight needs to be dealt with daily. If you think about, I mean, all you got to do is look at a child and think about somebody hurting that child. And if that doesn't make you sick to your stomach, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And you need to go talk to somebody, because no one should be able to just blow that off like it's nothing, because it's everything. Little lives are being destroyed, and stuff that you cannot hit a reverse switch on it. Once it's done, and it's only going to get worse. And then what's their final reward? Harvest their organs. Yep. And they put them in a hole in the ground. And people, if that doesn't piss you off beyond belief, then I don't know. Maybe really you got to be hanging out with the wrong people, or you have a soul that needs some serious examination.
Precisely.
Because these people that pour their guts into it. I mean, Doug, with all the things going on and everything he does, he's focused on that too. And that to me is incredible. It's just like not enough of him to go around. It's like when we say, hey, you see me at the end of almost every show going, hey, look at the coffee, buy some coffee. I don't do that because I want to sell coffee. I do that because it goes to the children, a good portion of it. This is a Shatter Ops organization. You know, I don't know if you guys saw Craig Sawyer on the show, but what an incredible individual. Now, we've actually started, I never got to meet Craig until when Doug had me on a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago. And I actually got to meet him. Now we're going back and forth on social media and direct messaging and things like that. What an incredible individual. What an incredible man. I'll follow that man anywhere. I'll slow him down, obviously, but I'll follow him anywhere. Okay. That guy is a one-man wrecking crew. If I had to make a phone call, and I've had to do this before in my life, and you can really find out who your friends are when you call them up and say, hey, I got a problem here. I need you to go with me. Somebody may get hurt. And they come up with something better to do. Boy, don't think you're a really good friend after that.
Because
if you say that to me, I'm on my way right now. Where are you exactly? And what do I need to bring? How hard is this party?
And I can attest to that because, well, I'll just leave it right there, put a period there. I can attest to that. And you know, isn't it funny today, the lack of loyalty that we see among people, and it's only going to get worse as the days progress. So loyalty is so important. And remembering where you came from is so important. Friendship.
Yeah, never forget where you've been. Yeah, this is the way, because raising kids and all, people ask you, what do you think is a friend? And I always kind of just stuck with, a friend is somebody that I can call at 4 o'clock in the morning, ask them to come and pick me up, and no, I don't want to talk about it. And they're there. That's a friend.
Yeah.
That's a friend. Because stop and think right now. How many people outside of family, how many people can qualify with what I just said on your friend list? And I want you to think about that. Okay? Walk into maybe a life and death situation. Remember, I didn't give them any, you know, I need you. I need you now. No questions asked. Right. That's on. A friend. That's a friend. Right. And yes. You know what? Got three, maybe. And two, you know, let me Doug and Eric, I trust with my life. Okay. Outside of that, maybe one day when I know you and get to know you better, we've hung out for a long time. And I know for a fact, because it's happened before, where I said, hey, I need you here. I can't talk about this right now. Come prepared. And that's, you know.
And let me just say this.
Yeah, he looks good.
That's always exciting when that happens.
He looks good in a suit, okay, with that dude right there. I always know I can make that phone call.
Yeah, yeah.
So if my ass is in the breeze, I'll tell you what. Maybe that's why I don't worry as much as I probably should. I don't worry about things. I really don't. I try and teach that to people. Please don't worry. You can worry all you want. You'll find out 95% of what you worried about wasn't worth worrying about.
Exactly.
And all you're doing is all you're doing is putting gray hairs in your head. Why? You have no control over the future outside of you. You have some control of what's going on with you, and only some.
Yeah.
Be advised. Okay? There are forces far greater than ourselves that are at play here. And anybody that's listening to this program and supports this platform, okay, and will speak up and say that they support this platform, you stepped in with some people that are in it for you and will go to any length that's put out before us for our friends and for our country, for Christian, for our fellow countrymen, for the patriots that we have. I'm very proud to consider myself a patriot. I really am. And you know what? I know eventually that they're going to come for us. It's a matter of time. I know that.
But they've already begun,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, they have. And it's a matter of time. I don't know how they're working, if it's alphabetical order or what. But I'll tell you what. I would be, and we will, and every patriot will be vindicated. Okay? And no one we know that's gone down for this is a bad person.
You've said enough for people to right now already enough for people to really ponder on. I believe where we're at in history, we're at an inflection mm-hmm. point. And, mm-hmm. I saw something here, and we can get into the real meat of certain things. First of all, it's difficult to know where to really begin, but one thing for sure that we can talk about. But by the way, if you want to simulcast the debate and comment on it, you got to pay CNN $50,000, which is just absolutely incredible. And what a bunch of crap that is, especially when this is the property of the American people.
Yeah, exactly. The U.S. people.
Yeah. And even right now, I know with the Blaze and Glenn Beck, the litigation there behind the scenes, litigation, things mm-hmm. taking place, people using lawfare to silence the opposition to the current regime. That is taking place right now. So it's in your face. And you know, I look at different platforms, because I want to be better than I can be, not necessarily mm-hmm. better than other platforms. You know, you and I, we talk, how do we improve? And the playing field is anything but level. And some of the so-called conservatives are still on YouTube getting away with things, you know. And
the people on YouTube to me are pansies, the panty weights, and those. They really are. I do not think that if they were standing in a huddle with me, that the enemy was over the hill, that I could hand them a rifle and count on them. I don't think so.
No, no.
Nor would I even ask. I'd tell them, get out of here. The men have to go to work.
I love that.
My friend Doug, I'd hand him any weapon, he'll walk with me. I could hand it to Derek, he'll walk with me. I have one other person that qualifies to that. And and that's it, outside of family. And that's you know, it's just rough. It's rough. People talk a good show, but I just, you know, I don't know. I don't.
You know what I was thinking of before the show? You got to ask yourself, too, how many people behind a microphone have ever been shot at? Okay, I mean, believe me, that changes your
philosophy. Yeah. Philosophy changes a lot at that point. It does.
Yeah,
I'll never forget it.
The first time is always the awakening, and then from there, it's like
how much more do you need to empty your bladder today, sir?
yeah. I mean,
That's why we're laughing. People don't get that. And we have people that get mad at us because we laugh.
Right.
You know what? But you need to be happy that we laugh, okay? Because if we weren't laughing, we'd be so serious, it would scare you.
Yeah, we don't want to scare anybody.
We're a different breed.
You have to be.
We are, and we welcome those. We know when we look through our listeners and everything. We see, you know, we're really good at telling who's in the fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we love you guys. We thank God for you. I am so glad that you support this platform. I'm glad that you buy the coffee. Okay.
I'm glad that you
visit our sponsors and buy things from our sponsors that helps us stay on the air longer because they're coming. And a matter of staying on the air is, you know, there's ways to do it. But there is some serious work to do on that, to be able to bounce around and on VP, you know, on IP addresses, bounce around from country to country to country to country. You know, there's some work to being evasive. There is a lot of work to that. And then once you found where you're kind of happy with this pathway that you're on, you go, oops, there's other people here that we didn't know about. We gotta vacate this one and move on to the next one. It gets crazy. It reminds me of the old days fighting Al Qaeda. And the sad part is the people now that were whose team I was on to fight Al Qaeda are now against us. And that bothers me so much. That hurts deep down inside. And I'm not being facetious or trying to make a drama scene here. It hurts inside. I sit there and I look and I think, anybody that questions my patriotism, well, you got a lot of gall if you do that. I've laid it all on the line for you. All of it.
Well, okay.
All of it. I feel like a forefather. You know, I put everything I had at risk. Everything.
And
I lost big time. Personally, financially, got my ass kicked right off this planet. But
you have. Look,
and Doug, we always said we'd do it for what? To save one life.
And yeah, what I've seen that man go through, and this is not an admiration society or a pity party, but there's a cost to making that step, standing up and saying, wait a second, this isn't right. Yep. Or telling an FBI agent to bugger off, okay? I'm being polite. Getting a visit by a CIA officer who's saying, hey, you know what? You ought not to be doing this. Or you're in over your head, which I remember we were. But yep. Anyway.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah. We're a little far. Yeah. And, you know, having somebody say, hey, did you watch 3 days or seven? What was it? 3 days of the Condor or 7 days of the Condor? Yep.
Three days of the Condor.
I couldn't remember if it was three or seven.
One of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah. And having a CIA officer say, hey, have you watched that movie? Anyway. But I digress. I wanted to start off the show and running late and stuff, and I apologize. But I'm going to start off the show with this video, RT, and I want to get your take on it. It's 2 minutes long. I don't know how many people have seen this on social media. So, this is a woman who asked some pretty interesting, relevant questions. So if we can play video one in the show notes at HagmanPI.com under the title, click on the title, open it up, and you'll see RT's contact information, my contact information, all this episode citations and such. And pretty soon we may not be able to use any of this, depending on the litigation. But anyway, here's this video, video one.
What needs to be talked about more is how hard it is to get up and go to your job when you are awake. When you see through this whole system and you know how everything operates and you know why it operates and you know who benefits from the entire system, when you know all of that and you see through it, it is so difficult to get up and go to your normal routine job and pretend like everything's fine. To pay your car registration, to pay your taxes, to participate in society like a normal person without saying anything, without talking to anybody because you're gonna be labeled as crazy. It's really, really exhausting because money is printed out of thin air. And we know why wars are started. We know who benefits from them. And knowing all of that, yet we still have to wake up and pretend and go to work and clock in and do our job like we don't know this whole entire other world that is going on.
RT, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are there's nowhere that I can check a box and say that I want to participate or not participate. That's the problem with the entire thing she just talked about. We're forced to play. We're forced to play along. You're forced to have some sort of transportation payment, whether it's fuel, the vehicle itself, putting oil in it, maintenance. You're always forced into. And the thing is, as the rates go up, it's hard to challenge the rates because everybody's raised their prices. There is no case of one guy's got the awesome price in town and it's half of the other guy's. It's not. It's not. You're forced to play. It's like property taxes. I look at the property taxes and I'm like, when did I use any of this?
Yeah.
What? It's like your electric bill. When you get your electric bill, you sit there and you think, you know, I've never really seen electricity. They say it's here. But by golly, that thing outside's spinning.
Read between the lines on that one. But yeah.
Right. You know, and these are crazy little things that, and when they put a tax on you, this is the part that bothers me about a tax, okay? That money that's out there floating around that's gone through the bank, went to the car dealerships, that money that you have that you put at the grocery store and all that, that's your money.
Yes.
But that they have the balls to charge you interest on it. You know what I'm saying? The bank is using your money. So when you walk in and go, hey, I want to buy a house, they're loaning you your money. It just bugs me no end. It's crazy. And I kind of understand why the Muslims have their little system of credit, which is no interest. No interest loans. That's one of the reasons. That was one of the good things that Gaddafi had going on over in Libya was the banking system. And people around them, they can say, listen, I'll tell you, and listen to me closely. They can make up whatever stories they want about Libya and Iraq and Egypt and this and that and the other. All of this is tied to what was known as the Arab Spring. We were going to save the Middle East with democracy. Right. Okay. None of this. If this, all you see, everything that's coming up now, now when you see when Israel is going into Lebanon, okay, and you start to see these things, and Russia, how they've taken a stance, how Russia had to kind of step up to protect Iran and Syria there towards the end of the, if you followed it years ago and really paid attention, the Syrian freedom fighters, okay? This whole deal was such a mess. And the media lies to you openly, okay? This all goes back to the Arab Spring. They wanted to remove people that were running countries that would have nothing to do with a white man New World Order, non-Muslim New World Order. These were all Muslim leaders. They wanted a caliphate. Yes, they wanted a Muslim New World Order, but that isn't what was being sold. And they knew it. And they said, no, we will not participate. Guess what? That's a real easy way to get an aircraft carrier parked off your coast and get the crap bombed out of you.
Okay. Now, I did not know you were going to bring this up.
I'm sorry, I drift off.
No, you know something? Again, this shows, and folks, we have, if we can pull this off, and I think we can next week, a couple of really big surprises for you on this platform. Only if you promise me you subscribe to us on Rumble and or Brighteon, your choice. And take comment there as well, but we got some surprises. I'm looking forward to the surprises.
It's going to be good surprises, too. Good things.
So you've got to stay tuned, especially next week, the week of our
independence, man.
Yeah.
That's just such a beautiful, beautiful holiday.
I'm telling you, it's great.
I mean, it's what we live and die for.
Okay. Now, what you said about the Arab Spring.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I had messaged or sent a communication to a specific author, and in return, I received a series of white papers of study about the Arab Spring. Okay, now in that whole packet of information, and I'm not going to show you anything in terms of the papers I received or the studies I received, because I don't know. I got to make sure I can. Okay, folks, you'll understand. But I saw this, and I thought of Randy Taylor. I thought of you. This was posted, I don't even know when this was. This was posted a while ago on X or Twitter, June 18th. So that was a while ago, a week ago, anyway. But I've seen this posted before. And it also went through the verification process, AI verification process. Now, some of these are slightly off, but the majority of them are accurate, okay? I can tell you that. So if we can put that up, post by African Hub, and this addresses not the larger issue of Arab Spring, but Libya specifically, and the real reason why Gaddafi was taken out the way he was. And folks, I want to say this, and then I'm going to turn it over to RT, and he can address these points. I was talking with an intelligence insider, I suppose, and at the time that he was taken out, he was his sons and him were not a good guy on the world stage, but especially his sons, my two dogs Uday and Kusa. No, I'm kidding. yeah, I named my dogs Uday and Kusa. No, he was cooperating on the terror, and you know this. There was information coming from Gaddafi and people within Gaddafi's regime to the USIC about certain things. Yet they took him out. Clinton took him out and celebrated his death or murder. But RT, take a look at this and tell me what you think. And you can go ahead and read if you want to. Pretend this is all yours. And have you seen this before?
Yeah, I saw. In fact, it was on. I saw something similar to that on Twitter this weekend.
Okay,
somebody put it up, and I was honestly surprised it hadn't been taken down.
Whatever you think of this, go ahead.
Well, what they have on here, what's showing on the screen, the real reasons why Gaddafi was killed. Libya had no electricity bills. The electricity came free of charge to all citizens. Okay, that's the truth. Okay, there were no interest rates on loans. The banks were state-owned, the loan of citizens by law, 0% interest. All right. Let's see. Gaddafi promised not to buy. I promised not to buy a house for his parents until everyone in Libya owned a home. That's no joke. All right. All newlywed couples in Libya received 60,000 dinars from the government. And because of that, they bought their own apartment and started their families.
Okay. Now,
stop and think about that.
The number it fluctuated. I'll just say that. The number fluctuated. And mm-hmm. that was, I did some research on that, which is true. Although that did happen, it wasn't pegged at 60,000 dinars. It fluctuated based on other factors. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Education and medical treatment in Libya are free. Before Gaddafi, there was only 25% readers. I'm not sure exactly. Okay. And 83% during his reign. There you go, literacy. That's a pretty incredible increase.
Yeah.
Okay, that is. If Libyans wanted to live on a farm, they received free household appliances, seeds, and livestock. Why? It's going to help feed the people.
Yes.
Let's see. If you bought a car. Oh, wait, no, I'm back one. If they received treatment in Libya, if they cannot receive treatment in Libya, the state would fund them $2,300 accommodation and travel for treatment abroad. Now, also, because I followed up on that one, but that was still with Libya paying the bill medically abroad.
Yes, yes.
It wasn't $2,300 and you were just taken to the airport, flown out, and you're on your own. Well, that, the treatment. Wherever you had to go for treatment, they copped that bill too.
Right.
All right. The price here, if you bought a car, the government finances 50% of the price. Stop and think about that. The price of gasoline became 14 cents per liter. Man, well, when other places they sell liters is in Canada. Right now, it's $1.66 per liter, just so you know. Libya had no external debt and reserves were $150 billion, now frozen worldwide. Since some Libyans can't find jobs after school, the government will pay the average salary when they can't find a job. But to me, that sounds fair, unless they're goofing off. And believe me, I'm sure that was looked into. This is a very serious government. It isn't like they just went bananas. You had to do your part. Part of all sales in Libya were directly linked to the bank accounts of all citizens. That's oil sales. And remember, they went into Iraq and promised the same thing. I don't know that it was ever fully implemented. Okay. But it's awesome. And that's not, there's also a Western country out of Norway or somewhere also receives money from natural resource revenues. And I think it's awesome. It's their land. It's directly linked to the bank accounts of all citizens. The mother who gave birth to a child will receive $5,000. All right. 40 loaves of bread cost 15 cents. Gaddafi had implemented the world's biggest irrigation project, known as the Big Man Project, to ensure water availability in the desert. I want you to stop and think about it. These things we just now brought up. Could you ever see the U.S. government doing that? Could you ever see the Canadian government doing that?
No.
They can't find their ass with both hands.
Think
about it. If we had a check cut to us on everything that was a resource that left the country. Think about that.
Wow.
Man, the numbers would just fry our minds.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be, I'm serious, you really, literally... It'd be a good possibility you wouldn't have to work a full-time job.
Or at least you could afford the groceries in the store. You could afford to live a little bit, you know, without the squeeze. Now, Bill, a poster by the name of Bill Stebbins had posted, interestingly, Grok lately agrees. Grok is the AI component to X. Just real quick, I mean, essentially everything that was read was correct. Electricity was heavily subsidized, not necessarily entirely free, but, you know, compared to the other countries. That was kind of like a mutual. What would you call that? Mutual.
Mutual benefit.
Yeah, it's not socialism. We're not talking about a socialistic enterprise here, a social enterprise. We're talking about like profit sharing.
Exactly. Yeah, based in capitalism.
Yeah.
At the point of sale, on the residuals, you make money if you're a citizen of the country. Oh, that to me is fantastic.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
It is. It's like Doug just said. It's not. Don't misinterpret the wording.
And you know, folks, you can go down that thread, African Hub, and you can find the thread. I'll put the link in the program description box of the thread, and you can read through that, because some are not like 100% on target, but the essence of what is said is there. So you brought up
we've always said, go check it out for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Please.
Now that's what makes a decent individual is don't believe everything you hear. Go check it out.
Exactly. And Arab Spring. I find this very interesting today, because Arab Spring was a product of the Obama State Department of State. And as you know, pretty much everyone in the DOS is
part of that. I honestly think that prior to Obama, that Bush Sr. was the one that was out there designing this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because Bush Sr., Obama was a product of something. He didn't just, I mean, nobody ever heard of this kid. And it wasn't because he's, some dynamic soul out there. By the time the Bushes had done their damage, Bozo the Clown could have run against anybody in the Republican Party and would have won. That's no joke. So sticking Palin and that McCain guy up there, I don't know what the hell the Republicans were thinking. Well, I'll tell you what they were thinking. The decision's already been made. The decisions were already made. I was watching a thing this weekend, and it torqued me again. It was when they were talking about John Kerry, and they were talking about Al Gore. So just very quickly, I rewound my mind and said, yes, and we know what happened. With Gore, I know it's down to 535 votes or something. All that was immaterial. Okay? I guarantee you that a phone call was made to Al Gore that said if he would concede, he would be rich beyond his wildest dreams. I guarantee that. I'm telling you. If you look at all the facts, maybe there's facts that you don't know. I know enough for the facts to tell you. That's very suspicious. All right? And I believe a deal was made. So then, boom, Bush got in. First term. Needed to be in there because they wanted to get going on 9/11 and the Arab Spring and all that other crap that they planned to drag this country through. Right? Wow. Then 4 years later, guess who pops up? John Kerry. This guy. Oh, there's some presidential material for you. I remember there were three debates. I'll never forget this as long as I live. The first two debates, this guy was on fire. Oh, man. He slammed Bush. They even slammed Laura Bush and got away with it. Well, they got taken to task for a couple of weeks, but soon it was gone. But they had I thought for sure, that Kerry was coming out strong. Then on the third debate, I'll never forget it. On the third debate, when he walked out on stage, by the time he answered the first question, I knew somebody had gotten to him.
Yeah, he took a dive.
Yep. He took a nosedive that you could see 200 miles away. He hit the dirt. Bam. And then isn't it funny that Al Gore was stuck out there with this green crap? Green this, green that. The weather, oh my God, the weather. The ice is melting. The ice is melting on a sunny day. You know what I mean? It's just going nuts. And then what happens? Al Gore, he's getting there. This guy's worth a lot of money. You'll never know his true net worth.
Al Gore, you're talking about. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. And then, boom, what happens? John Kerry.
Yep.
John Kerry. And the part that bugged me is he had to be promised a certain amount of power, too. Because he's married to Teresa Hines Kerry. So money isn't exactly the issue unless maybe perhaps in his relationship, his wife was telling him what to do because she was the one that held the purse strings.
Well, more money
is behind his fortune.
And Carrie is one degree of separation, separated from the Ukrainian Burisma.
Yes.
Heinz issues, which people don't know the incestuous relationship. So you go from Arab Spring to Ukraine, for example, and you see the people who are profiting from the Ukrainian people and then now profiting from the war. So you've got and now we're to the point, RT, and this is something that people need to really realize. I believe Biden, again, understand his relationship with Ukraine, giving Ukraine the missiles to strike inside of Russia, which they have done, and Russia has promised retaliation. And here we are. We're waiting for that retaliation.
So anyway, you got the American people got to see how these guys were paid off.
Yeah,
and they were both. It was based on the same criteria each time. He was running against his son Bush, and then George Bush Senior. I guarantee had to get on the phone, offered Gore a position in money, Kerry a position in money. The problem is. U.S. citizens don't think about this kind of stuff. They, 4 years, looking at a five-year period in history, they don't even think about it. They can't. It's like your mind can't take it because they throw so much crap at you every day that you forget that, wow, yeah, oh, yeah, Al Gore. Yeah, yeah, he was Mr. Green. Yeah, bought out by Bush, right? And then Kerry. Wow, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because the time span is too much. People don't remember that until you bring it up.
And that's exactly.
It's designed like that. That's part of this 24-hour news cycle. We were talking about how the human mind can only take so much. It can only absorb so much.
Yep.
So when they got with Ted Turner, the libs, and they all got together, and I'm sure government money was put behind them the liberal Democrat side.
Yep.
And what do? They come out the 24-hour news cycle. Repeat every 30 minutes. Repeat every 30 minutes.
The news they wanted you to hear.
Right. Only what they want. What they wanted right. you to absorb.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. So, what do we call that in some circles? Brainwashing.
Yep.
And here's the thing. You don't even know. You don't even know or realize that you were being brainwashed. They do the same thing. They used to do it on Fox News. Now they've broken the daytime area up into so many different things, but they're all related.
That's right.
It's just not as blatantly obvious as it is on CNN and MSNBC. And then your ABCs and CBS and stuff like that. But I'm just basically focusing on the 24-hour gigs. It's amazing. It's amazing how, as a country, we've been brainwashed.
And I'll take it one step further, kind of a left into the weeds. You know, folks, when you're in a grocery store, do you ever pay attention to the music in the grocery store? The chains have spent tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars to select specific types of music to entice you to purchase, make purchases, stay longer.
Yep.
So you're getting bombarded with all of this. I know that's kind of way in the weeds, but that's what we're dealing with.
The subliminal warfare is just incredible.
Yeah.
It really is incredible. If you just went back and took a day of everywhere you went and everything you heard on the radio, you'd have to look at it and you'd have to say, wow. The propaganda was hard today. Yeah. It was there, man. They beat it into my skull. And we're in an election cycle. It's going to be relentless. It's going to be relentless.
And speaking of that, okay, answer this question. So I believe, and let's talk about the upcoming debate on Thursday, which we really can't show because then we'll get sued by CNN because
we don't have 50 grand laying around.
Okay, but we can certainly offer commentary on this. So I opened the show real quick with I thought it was kind of a funny joke where the Babylon Bee was talking about this. Biden's at Camp David being, you know, pumped full of drugs and being schooled on the debate. By the way, he's there having lunch with Biden or with Obama numerous times. What's that about? Okay. But here's the thing. How Donald Trump is preparing for the debate, he's going out and arguing with dementia patients. In preparation, debate preparation. What, didn't land with you either?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. It wasn't that funny.
No, they didn't want to be on equal ground here.
Yeah.
Know who their target was.
But you know, you look
if at... If you count the Democrats, Doug, you're right in there.
well, you look at some of the decisions made. So the way I look at this, and I want your thoughts on this. Number one, President Trump will be debating not necessarily Biden, but CNN. He's going to be debating with CNN because, you know, Jake Tapper, of course, I think 12 or 15 times he's you can find on social media where he's.
Why couldn't they bring somebody more neutral in to sit with Jake Tapper? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Because
it's all rigged. Something. It's all of course rigged. It's rigged. And that's great because we can throw that out as the first thing if that thing goes south. It's like, well, geez, look what the setup was. You know, how hard would it be really to pick like that Jesse guy maybe on Fox?
I would get somebody from Midtown Manhattan. Or I'm sorry, not Midtown.
You mean just a citizen.
Middle of the country.
Yeah.
Who is at least somewhat articulate, who can ask the questions, and certainly not ask the questions that he, you know, that person was given, but nonetheless. So there it is on Breitbart. Ooh. CNN's debate co-host of Tapper, Bush, or Bash, showed open bias against Trump in the past remarks. They even talked about, and I don't mean to be gross or whatever, but they were commenting on the shape of President Trump's plumbing, shall I say. Okay. I mean, that's how low these people are. But here's...
They are, you know what? They are disgusting in every way possible.
Okay, but yes. But here's a question I have for you in the audience. There was a coin toss made, and you could either select your position of the podium, right side of the stage or left side of the stage, or you could opt for closing... The closing statement. Biden selected the podium position. As an investigator, Randy Taylor, does that bother you? There's something that doesn't sit right about that with me. Instead of saying, hey, I'll take the closing argument, I'll take the closing statement. Oh, no. I'm going to take the right positioned podium.
Well, with Biden, maybe it's closest to the door. he goes on the other side. He might do a tumble right there in front. It's got goodness. They're always up to something.
Yeah,
they are. I would want myself. I would want the closing arguments.
Absolutely. To me, you know, any rational person would.
Yeah, because you get to clean up the mess, you know.
Well,
absolutely.
And the last thing stated, I believe, is the most remembered. At least in trials, that's usually the case. Okay, so
you can always go back and kind of brush on the gray area because there is gray areas in every debate.
Right.
It didn't get fully answered before somebody said you're out of time. Because trust me, they're going to hold Trump to the second on this, and Biden will get the flow over on every one of them. The thing is, it's so rude, and nobody screams about it. Even if you're a lefty, even if you're a Democrat, if you see the person on stage being biased and there's bias being shown against that individual, you have a right and a responsibility as an American citizen to object to it. Don't just be happy because your teammate's not getting it broke off in his butt. Okay? Don't be happy about that. How about equal playing field? This you know what? That whole January 6th pile of crap, all right, that they're pushing was really a misunderstanding. Because if they had nothing to be concerned with, they would have had a recount. See, this all goes back to the honesty or dishonesty of the left in everything they do. Look at everything. Look at everything. There's always something in there that could have easily been resolved, but they refuse to do it because they're lying and hiding things. Stop and think about it. Everything is wrong now. The court cases we've seen, these are so blatantly biased, weaponized. I can't even think of if I was on the Supreme Court, by golly, I would have already stepped up and said something.
I thought Thomas would come out of his skin and take care of business. Okay, real quick, because of the time. Brother,
sorry.
Okay, no. Because you are familiar with Canada, because you have ties up there, I want to show you this. Folks, I don't know how many people saw this. Tommy Robinson spoke up in Canada, and you think you got free speech up there? This is a minute and a half video. Real quick, go ahead and play it. And I want your commentary about Canada and the bogus charges for which Tommy Robinson was arrested for. There is no right of free speech up there. Here it is.
Outstanding immigration warrant. We'll talk about it in the vehicle, okay?
How's your luck, okay? You've got 190.
Okay, alright.
What about my stuff? What about my stuff?
Miss your stuff.
Absolutely insane. Get me a lawyer. Can you not tell me what I'm under arrest for?
You're under arrest for having an outstanding warrant. I'm happy to provide you with all of your rights.
Outstanding warrant.
Yeah, for an outstanding immigration warrant.
Okay, you can cut it right there. In the interest of time, folks, the link will be at HagmanPI.com. RT, that was the excuse given, but they let him into Canada with outstanding warrants. They let him into the venue to speak. He spoke out against the Trudeau government and was arrested upon his culmination of his speech for the outstanding warrant that they allowed him in despite having an outstanding warrant. What the hell? Go ahead, sir. In the minute and a half we got left.
I don't know what to say. All I can say is this. If you want to spot the RCMP in the crowd, look for the worst shirts possible. I'm telling you. You can pick them out. Your child could pick them out. This RCMP is corrupt. And I say that. And that's a shame because all those officers, not all of them are corrupt. But enough of them are corrupt that it has saturated the entire force because they're doing Trudeau's bidding. I don't know how you can get up as a law enforcement guy, as a law enforcement individual, and do Trudeau's bidding. You are so lost and so far away from your responsibilities. Shame on you. Shame on you. You're supposed to be between the people and the tyrannical government. You're supposed to be the ones that ride in and save the day. Yeah, you know why? Because you're pushing people. And we told you this in the U.S. You still got your heads in your asses, Canada and the U.S. When you take away every option that an individual has on this planet to right a wrong, and you take that away because of corruption, what do you expect them to do? You're going to then question their behavior? You're going to question them going to the court of public opinion? Really? You forced them there. You forced them to do things that a rational individual would normally not do. It's on you, RCMP. It's on you, CSIS. Bearing in mind, CSIS isn't anything to do much with arrest, okay? They're more the research. RCMP is the arrest. When I dealt with CSIS too, okay, I know how it works. We turn things in, but nobody's going to get arrested by CSIS, okay?
It's the RCMP.
it would get kicked over to the RCMP, right, which is the equivalent of the FBI in Canada. Because the RCMP covers.
There you go. There you go.
And I didn't get to promote the coffee, guys.
And by the way, the coffee is not part of the coffee. Our coffee is not part of the coffee recall that's happening today. But go ahead.
This is awesome, guys. This is an excellent product. And listen, thank you. We love you for your support. Hope to see you again soon. God bless everyone. Yeah, we're in it together.